From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on September 13th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. Friday 13th, happy to all those who celebrate, Jason. I love that movie. On this episode of The Lead, we have news of Congressman Joe Wilson, who suffered what appeared to be a stroke earlier this week and remains hospitalized in stable condition. The University of South Carolina women's basketball team visited the White House to celebrate their national championship title, and we bring you some voices from South Carolinians following Tuesday night's debate, and hear from former Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley and Governor Henry McMaster, both of whom headlined a fundraiser for Senator Tom Davis in Bluffton. The Lead loves hearing from everyone. That's why we have a voicemail box set up at 803-563-7169. Give us your hot takes, your thoughts, maybe your undecided voter. We would love to hear from you. You don't have to identify yourself. We're just interested to hear what your thoughts on the election are, any number of issues. Even though the wind-down section is our break from the news, we'll dabble. 803-563-7169. I want to start off with some concerning news, and that is that 2nd District Republican Congressman Joe Wilson suffered from what appeared to have been a stroke, according to his son, State Attorney General Alan Wilson. On Tuesday evening, Congressman Wilson collapsed at an event in Washington before being rushed to a hospital for treatment where he is said to have been in stable condition. His office tweeted on the 12th, "While Congressman Wilson continues to be evaluated by medical staff, he is in good spirits, improving, and speaking with family," quote. Moving on, but sticking in Washington, the University of South Carolina women's basketball team was in the house, the White House, that is, on Tuesday in recognition of their national championship win. Y'all ready for this? Oh, yeah. President Joe Biden gave remarks before the team, Coach Dawn Staley, and distinguished guests, including several members of our congressional delegation. That includes Congressman Jim Clyburn. Just listen to this opening line from Biden.
My name's Joe Biden. I work for Jim Clyburn. Folks, welcome. Welcome to the White House. National champions of the University of South Carolina. All right, you got it, kid. I was getting some tips from the coach. Look, a lot of supporters here today, including several members of Congress. Jim, I was just bragging about you.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I mean? Because I'm afraid of you. I don't want to cross you. And by the way, get him back in line, will you? You know what I mean? He used to be my close friend. We're going to get that way again. I love Columbia so much, I asked the former mayor to join me in the White House full time, Steve Benjamin. And, he claimed credit for every win this year. I don't know what the story is. Truth is, I wouldn't be here today were it not for the support of the great people of South Carolina. Let me say it again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To the families and friends, and most of all, the players and coaches, congratulations on an incredible run of excellence. Incredible. I know why you're so good. You got a girl from Philly running this team. I married a Philly girl. You don't screw around with a Philly girl, man. They're tough. Julie from Philly. Coach, before you took the job with South Carolina, the women's team had just, you had been to just 2 tournaments in 17 years. And now we're here to celebrate the 3rd national championship. 2nd in 3 years. With 109-3 record in that span. You got it, kid. You're back there going. You're right. Just the 10th team ever to go undefeated in women's college basketball. That's not to say you weren't challenged all the way to your 38-0 effort. You know, you had to replace 5 starters due to the WNBA draft and graduation. And there were doubts all over about contending for the title this year. But for the record, and this is God's truth, I picked you to win.
Coach Staley is no stranger to the White House, having successfully coached USC to three national championships.
Three.
Winning three gold medals, playing for Team USA, and coaching them to gold in 2021, among other titles and awards. She gave brief remarks.
Thank you for this incredible honor to stand here in the White House, a house that symbolizes hope, unity, and opportunity for all. Is a moment that is not lost on me. I feel like this is a teachable moment for my team. I'm reminded of the journey of our state, our home state, South Carolina, has taken, how not so long ago, the Confederate flag was taken down from our state capitol, a symbol that represented division and exclusion. That moment wasn't just about a symbol being removed. It was about people coming together, uniting for a shared vision of progress, justice, and equality. Today, my staff, my team, and I stand here embodying diversity, inclusiveness, and unity. My hope is that this moment lands on you as my team as a powerful reminder of the beauty that can come from unifying for a common goal and doing things the right way.
At the end, Biden made one last joke to all the politicians in the room while holding Staley's hand.
All of those of you who hold public office in South Carolina, you better hope she keeps coaching and doesn't run.
And because I complained about the state's football psyche, College Game Day is coming to you live from Columbia on Saturday. You're welcome, America. I did that.
Wow.
Because they know about your psychology. They know about your psychological issues.
Wow.
And Coach Dawn Staley will be the guest picker. Tune in.
Come on, guys. Let's go.
I'll be tailgating, and I will provide you a psyche update in Tuesday's wind down. Prediction: everyone's going to be sad again.
But
I want to revisit some of the voices we heard from Tuesday night, debate night in America, when some 67 million folks watched Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump go head to head. I was up in Greenville at Willie Taco, where some 200 Republicans had gathered, eating tacos, drinking beer, fellowshipping, that's right. The event was hosted by the 4th District Republican Club and 98.9 FM WORD, Young Greenville, and Greenville Patriot Caucus. A vibrant mix of Republicans, and that's not even representative of all of them because there are factions within the party up there. But before the debate started, several speakers covered a gamut of ideologies, including Attorney General Alan Wilson.
I'm so grateful to see so many people, a lot of new people to the party, and people from different factions of the party. We need a conservative, America First agenda at play beginning in January of 2025, and it all begins here in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you so much for allowing me to be your Attorney General. The Office of Attorney General does not belong to Alan Wilson. It belongs to you.
And also warming up the crowd were some talk radio hosts, including Charlie James, who told the crowd that if Trump loses, it will be the media's fault, etc. So kind of already saying those expectations and blame there. There was even talk about a war following the election if Kamala Harris wins, a lot of come and take them talk about guns, and referring to ABC News as the enemy. You know, typical stuff that you see at such Republican Party events.
They're going to be telling you how Donald Trump lost this debate tonight, but we all know different. We all know that if we're going to do anything to get this country back on a proper footing, it's going to be going out November the 5th and voting for Donald John Trump as our 47th and maybe 48th president of the United States, because I still think there's time. Hold on, wait a minute, because I still think there's time for Joe Biden to bow out. That could be the big October surprise. We will see. Never, ever underestimate your opponent. So what we're going to see tonight is going to be policy versus attack.
That was Charlie James with some, that's a theory right there. Throughout the 90-minute debate, it was like being at someone's house where the TV is turned up loud and they're shouting like it's a football game, which is really why I can't watch televised sports besides golf, folks. There we go. We just drilled down there. But when it was all said and done, well, even some Republicans weren't that crazy about Trump's performance and were surprised by Harris's. Here's what Beth Corson, an 80-year-old retired office manager, told me about the debate.
I thought Trump represented himself very well. She practiced very well. I thought she would be worse than she was. I'd give her credit for being somewhat professional. But of course, I'm a Republican, so, you know, what do you think?
Were you always a Trump supporter before this? Did you have any?
Yes, I was.
And so then your mind was already kind of made up in this before this debate, obviously.
Actually, you know, I tried to think as I was trying to be broad-minded about it, you know, but, I mean, you see the policies. You know the policies. So, I mean, I'd rather know what I'm getting than not know what I'm getting. You know what I mean?
I caught up with Derek Quarles, a black Democratic political activist in the area, who lost a recent county council runoff election by some 24 votes. He was introduced to the crowd of Republicans by 4th District Republican Club leader Nate Lepp, like this.
So how many of you here, let's let Derek know, are voting for a convicted felon?
As for Derek, who was invited, he said all politics is local and he is a believer in working together with folks regardless of political ideology. You know, trying to get back to civility in politics and finding commonality. I mean, even he had issues with Harris. He wasn't a fan of her when she first ran for president.
Last time, and it was on my own part, I heard a lot of things about her record as a prosecutor that I believed that I had not done research on. I did the research myself and saw a lot of that stuff was not true. I saw a lot of things that were said about her as a prosecutor were not true. She actually was a staunch advocate for criminal justice reform. She was pro-law enforcement. She was pro-community. And so it's kind of hard sometimes to please everybody. Because I'm a person of Black Lives Matter, I kind of didn't support her initially. But over the years, she's proven herself to be, again, for all people, she's proven herself to be a visionary. She talks about affordable housing for everybody, which is a huge issue, especially here in Greenville with the cost of housing going up. She talks about lowering prescription costs for folks. I have a twin brother who needs medication. He doesn't have health insurance. And so for me, it means a lot when prescription costs is down, when we have access to health care. Education is also huge to me. I have a PhD in education. And so they are advocates of education. And Project 2025, even though Donald Trump says that he is not tied to Project 2025, there's a video of him years ago where he admits that he knew about Project 2025 and that he's been in a room and they've been discussing it. And so I know that one of the things they want to do is they want to dismantle the Department of Education. That can't happen because there'll be so many people in this community right here in Greenville who won't have an opportunity for education.
While the crowd cleared out quick, I ran over to a group of folks, and as a little behind the scenes, I'll let you hear how I pled my case to get some people to talk to me on the record.
What's that?
Gavin Jackson with South Carolina Public Radio.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Your thoughts on the debate?
Oh, public radio, not NPR.
South Carolina Public Radio. So we're trying to get everyone's viewpoints.
Democrat.
Yeah.
Here talking to Republicans, I want to get your thoughts if you want to share them.
Yes, no.
Yeah, No, I didn't. Come on, we'll both do it.
I think that she lied a lot, did not know her facts, turned it around that he didn't have any facts, and so it's just a crapshoot. I think my opinion is she's leading towards the young people and not the older people, where, like us, we need that extra money coming in, the inflation, everything.
You guys, that's how it works. You got to put that smile on and charm and be like, okay. That was Wayne Boyd, who retired from 39 years of working at 3M in the swing state of Wisconsin, if you couldn't tell in that accent. And his bud Dave Amsden, who moved from Michigan. So, all these swing staters in South Carolina. See, we're all connected. Now, here's Wayne making the point that Trump's people wanted him to make over and over again during the debate, but he didn't until the end.
Still say she had almost 4 years under the administration to get things done, which she's been talking about. So why all of a sudden now, like Trump said, should I hand you the red MAGA hat? You know, because like she's flip-flopping. But I don't know. I think this country's going backwards, and I think Trump is the only thing right now that we have to get it turned back up.
To bring it back to where we were during the Reagan years.
Yep.
She has no respect Biden has no respect, just like Reagan had everybody looking to him, right? And tear down the wall. He did. Yeah. They don't have any nation.
Yeah. I just think we just gotta go forward. We can't be going the way we're going. I mean, no. The economy is just, and immigration too. I mean, it's just, we gotta do something.
And I followed up with Dave about what he meant earlier about Trump's facts.
He put it out as, I did a lot. I did this, but he didn't put a lot of facts out there. What exactly did he do to an extent? He did, but he didn't at the same time. She was all no facts at all.
You know, so you want-
based on what we've heard in the media, and it's all one-sided. So it's you can't.
That's true. The mainstream media cannot. So
yeah.
You hear a lot of it tonight. Too bad we have to wait for debate to get all the questions. You know.
So did you want to hear more policy from President Trump, and you didn't
both
feel like promoted
yeah. him? Both, but she's nowhere near what our country needs.
Any surprises?
At all.
Any surprise takeaways from tonight? Did you think anyone did better or worse than what they were gonna do, or?
I think she did better than I thought. I thought she would be more stuttery, but not. Yeah, but she did. But I don't think it's not enough to swing the polls, you know.
Now for a change of scenery, former Governor Nikki Haley, along with Governor Henry McMaster and some members of the Statehouse, participated in a chic little Low Country fundraiser for Beaufort Republican Senator Tom Davis. Hell hoot. Haley has fundraised for some folks in the past, including Congresswoman Nancy Mace in 2022, only for Mace to endorse Trump in early 2024. Same race that she was running for president in. Remember that, guys?
Yes.
Now, Trump later endorsed Mace before her June primary. Tit for tat. But one person who hasn't flipped on Haley is Davis, who was one of her few Statehouse allies during her tenure as governor. You may remember Davis drove some 23 hours due to blizzard-induced flight cancellations to caucus for Haley in Iowa in sub-zero temperatures. And we were there, too. It was so cold. Check back to the Iowa pods, because we talked with Davis then. And on Wednesday night, Haley returned the favor by helping turn out more than 150 people to the Rose Hill Plantation House in Bluffton. Here's McMaster speaking.
I got to listen to a lot of people explain a lot of things. And I want to tell you, one of those who is exceptional is your own Tom Davis, our own Tom Davis. Listening to Tom Davis is like listening to a symphony. You can understand it, you can repeat it, you hum it, you know it, and it is moving and it is convincing. And that only takes just knowledge and intelligence and determination and all of those things. It takes something else. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, he has got it.
I will tell you, it was quite a change of scenery and Republicans from the debate watch party I attended in Greenville just 24 hours before. Yes, Greenville, Columbia, to Bluffton, and back to Columbia. The event was tucked back in one of those gated communities, neighborhoods obscured from roadways thanks to rows of pine trees. One of those neighborhoods made up of acres of former plantation land turned into a development of estates near a marsh. Picturesque. There were no tacos here under these Spanish moss, draped live oak trees where folks sipped cocktails and were served hors d'oeuvres. As they heard praise of Davis, jokes and history lessons from McMaster, and a stern world outlook by Haley from the House's porch. Haley gave a bit of background on the transition between governor and becoming Trump's UN ambassador, letting then-Lieutenant Governor McMaster to, quote, roll down the hall.
When the transition happened and we sat down and, you know, it was that moment of, is there anything I should know? Is there anything I need to do? Whatever. And I said, you've got a good base. You know, we did everything we could in South Carolina. Now take it to the next level. And Governor, you have taken it to the next level.
Davis, who has been pushing for medical marijuana for years, fought against a near-total abortion ban and has worked across the aisle on other issues, and he also fought the 2017 gas tax increase. He is running for his fifth term representing Senate District 46 and faces Democrat Gwyneth Saunders. We'll be bringing you the few Statehouse races to watch in a future episode. Not going to focus on everyone's little campaign situations, but when you have the current governor and the former governor at one location, well, we'll make the drive. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. We're glad you stuck around. A.T. Shire, producer of the podcast. I'm glad you stuck around, too.
I'm trapped here.
Oh, no, not trapped.
Yes.
you're
required to be here.
Yeah, it's a small little loophole. Oh,
differences in the way we see it. But I am here, Gavin. You know what else is here? A call.
Are they here with us now?
They're eating the calls, Gavin. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Gavin and AT. This is Catherine Whitaker from Mount Pleasant. Hope you guys are well. It's been way too long since I called in. A couple years, I think. So just wanted to say hi from Mount Pleasant, give you guys a little update on life and some things happening here in the Lowcountry. Coming off of a Culture Arts and Pride Commission meeting for the town, and we were just talking about the success of our 20th anniversary Sweetgrass Festival at the end of July, and we are going to be continuing our project to renovate the Sweetgrass Basket stands along Highway 17. We're doing some more painting of stands along that corridor on October 5th. So lots of fun, interesting things happen with the Culture Arts and Pride Commission in the town that I'm happy to be a part of. In life news, just wanted to give a shout out to the seniors in high school who are all, you know, contemplating their next steps, as is my daughter, who is a senior this year. So, you know, with all these college applications, early action, early decision deadlines happening in September and October, just want to give a shout out to those seniors who are feeling the pressure and let them know that we're all behind them here in South Carolina, where, you know, while I breathe, I hope, you know, could also be a motto we apply to the college decisions, right? So anyway, hope you guys are well. Let's hear some more baby news, AT. What's happening in the world of babyhood these days? So thank you guys for what you do, and I will continue to listen and be appreciative of all the things you guys share with us on SC Lead. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Catherine, for that wonderful call. Good to know about the work being done on those Sweetgrass stands. If you've never seen them, I've always wondered about them because sometimes I make the drive from Mount Pleasant to the Grand Strand,
typically during hurricanes,
and I'm always like, oh, they look so sad, some of them, and obviously it's part of the culture corridor right there, so good to know that things are going to
getting
be
their TLC.
Improved.
Getting their TLC.
Yes.
TLC, the band.
And also, good luck for those seniors out there. I'm glad we are done with school. I know it's always back to school. I always hated back to school.
Yeah,
the school supply shopping, the first month of school was probably fine, but then that first pop quiz or that test, and you're like, take me back to summer, baby.
I didn't care about back to school
BTS.
Stuff, the equipment, the clothing, I didn't care. I never was dressing to impress on the first day. Shocking, you know what I mean?
We had uniforms where I went.
A little brag.
This is the friends?
I was wearing
the captive audience?
My best
Chuck Taylor's
Slayer shirt, you know what I mean? It was not good. Brag. It was bad. We want some Rena updates. Okay, we can get into
it. Let me see. What do I got here? Shuffles papers.
Rena update. Okay, she's doing good. She's starting afternoon daycares.
Huh.
Only one who's not fussing, according to the teacher, so that's pretty good. We started feeding her, like, food.
Nice.
She loves mushed apples and is medium on carrots and yams, you know?
Me and Rena have this in common.
I'm mushed dosing apple. Her with peanut butter.
Yeah.
And hazelnut spread, you know,
so she doesn't get a little nut allergy.
Yeah, I'm trying to head that off at the pass little bit by little bit. So we're like five or six. She's microdosing. Okay, that's how she gets through the day.
She's eating baby shrimp, crawfish, oysters.
When Caitlin was
gonna have this oyster, honey.
When Caitlin was pregnant, I did make sure she was eating like tons of shellfish and stuff. I was like, I'd be like, I want you to eat at least one or two peanut butter sandwiches a week. You know what I mean?
Just to get it going through the core.
I wanted that going through because not on my family, but on her side, there are peanut butter and nut allergies, and I don't want any of that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Less is more.
I can't. I was talking about this the other day where like. How foundational in our lives as millennials? I'm gonna get old and start rattling a cane right here. But like, how foundational was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at school? You know, like you had peanut, and now You can't. I'm not saying like make these kids tougher and
let them eat them,
like
make them pass out.
I'm not saying anything like that. But it's just like the idea of not being able to bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich to school. It boggles my mind.
It's just thinking about the daily production of lunch in a house of three boys.
Yeah.
To peel back the curtain, Terry Jackson just slapping them together. My biggest issue. I hated whenever we'd run out of maybe grape jelly or blackberry jam, which we'd sometimes make, and then the strawberry. I think we've talked about this before, but that's
so good. I don't know why you don't like this. It's so good.
Maybe if it's just the jam, but when you get that lump of strawberry, it's like,
it's good. I love it. I bet you don't like your tomato sauce with lumps either.
I can have any kind of tomato sauce,
any
period.
Lump you want to give me,
but not a gelatinous strawberry.
I love that part.
Well, we can agree to disagree.
When you get like a quarter strawberry on your sandwich, it's great. Sometimes I would put fresh strawberries in it. And like strawberry and banana inside the sandwich.
Hey, that sounds fantastic.
What's the difference?
It's fresh. It's not gelatinous.
Oh, it's good.
The consistency. I'm going to be like, it's like, I can't do the the coconut.
I'm going to tell you to grow up, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, you got to grow up. Like,
literally, what am I, like, maybe only food pet?
I'm shocked. I'm truly shocked
few food pet peeves right there.
Yeah, very weird.
I chose to share this, and I'm being
shamed
ridiculed.
You. I've shamed you. Yeah.
This is what I have to deal with.
I'm going
to
tell you right now, you got to grow up, okay?
And this guy doesn't get it. I do. I enjoy all sorts of spreads and jams and jellies, including orange marmalade that a lot of people do not. I like, here we go.
That's lame. Well, you know what's better?
It's very stuffy.
It's lame.
There's any more orange marmalade?
Isn't
in
there
the
like
jar?
A kid's book about orange marmalade or something like that? Yeah,
I became so precocious as a child and pretentious.
Mother, why are we having the strawberry jam today?
Do away with these lumps, will you, Mom? And more marmalade, please. Why does orange get its own thing?
Because
marmalade.
It's so good.
It's not right.
Yes, it is.
Did you have pizza day at school?
I don't think we've ever really participated.
What?
I mean, we would. I think maybe back in like grade school we would, but not during high school. Yeah, the square pizza, that was the jam.
Not the square pizza. They would like bring pizza into school. Is that a Jersey thing?
Unless we had a party going on.
There was
a pizza lunch day.
Well, that happened
They'd
every
keep the
week.
Little slices
that
underneath.
Every week.
Yeah,
the squares.
Yes. I don't think we got pizza all the time. We never really had the hot lunch. I'm talking about the aforementioned PB and S or J.
I loved PB and J. I still eat that for lunch sometimes.
You know, I don't buy as much bread.
Of course you don't.
I don't.
Of course you don't.
I don't.
I love bread.
I would do it, but I'm just... And then you got all the sugar in the jam now.
For as intolerant of a man as I am, I'm very gluten tolerant, okay? I'm very gluten tolerant.
God, could you imagine both? What would be the reason to go?
I don't know. If she
besides
like,
your Rena lovely
is,
wife and
is
your
allergic
child.
To hummus or something.
Oh man!
And like I don't.
Yeah, start pushing the gluten now, buddy.
I'm gonna do gluten. We're doing tahini. I'm putting tahini in this kid. You know what I mean?
We have gone from a sports podcast now to a health
bon appetit wellness
pseudoscience.
Yes.
Well, what you gotta do is just give the kid shrimp with peanut butter on it.
I've been rubbing essential oils on her scalp.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thick hair.
Yeah. I want a thick head of hair on this baby, okay? I need her to be shaggy. Anyway, Gavin.
Put her on retinol.
There's
already.
Too much in this pot already.
There's so much pot.
Okay.
It's like an overfilled, disgusting strawberry jam.
So what an image to end on. Thank you so much.
Take a bite out of the pot,
have
folks.
A good weekend.
Give us a shout.
Walk around the tailgates around Williams-Brice and just yell for Gavin and AT. We'll be there somewhere.
Sprinkle some Zoloft on any Clemson or Carolina fan.
If you have
life.
Anything that you think I should dose my child with, let me know. Okay. Anyway, on that note.
Thank you.
Let's macro dose these credits.
Here are your macros, folks. Thanks for listening to the pod. As always, you can show us your appreciation by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or a voicemail at 803-563-7169. Give us some baby advice, people. More pumpkin. Pumpkin's coming up. Pumpkin's huge. You can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer.
This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Oh, no, I drink like half a gallon of milk, too.
Okay, too much! I said too much!
This milk is just too hot.